Hi, Uncle Dan.
Hello, Aunt Sue.
And a special hello from all of us to you boys and girls, and everyone. Today, Uncle Dan is going to tell us what happens next to the Hebrew slaves who have been in Egyptian bondage for so many, many years.
Thank you, Aunt Sue. I think I'll call this chapter, which is found in Exodus chapters 13 and 14,
Miracles by the Sea.
On a certain night in ancient Egypt, over 1 million Israelite slaves were gathered on the borders of Goshen. They stood, loins girt, with sandaled feet, hushed, awed, yet expectant, awaiting the results of a conference between the king of Egypt and Moses and Aaron. The Egyptian people themselves were in a state of mourning. The firstborn of every family had just been slain by the destroying angel. Suddenly, two figures were seen to approach that great multitude. The crowd stirred, then stood silently, awaiting the announcement of Moses and Aaron.
Fellow Israelites, the king of Egypt has given his royal sanction. We start for the land of promise immediately, now!
Soon that great multitude was on its way, marching to freedom. In that multitude were all kinds of people, young, the old, boys and girls, babies, the well, the sick, the lame. Mainly, though, that crowd contained some who never complained, regardless of their lot, while others did nothing but complain. To better understand what happened and how the people felt during the long march to freedom, we're going to create a make-believe family containing just about all the types of people in that multitude. We're going to call them the Eliab family. The Eliab family marched happily along, lost in the great masses of people. Father and Mother Eliab are about halfway back, leading two small children. The two elder sons, young men, are at the rear of the multitude, riding herd on the cattle and sheep.
On our way to freedom at last.
Well, I think I'm going to miss Egypt and my friends there.
Oh, not me. I want to see new things, meet new people.
Excitement and adventure mean more to you than to me.
I suppose so.
Where are we going, anyway?
The land of promise.
Canaan?
That's the land that was promised our forefathers to Abraham centuries ago.
Yeah, well, Canaan's to the north. Why are we heading south?
Well, don't you know?
No, do you?
Sure. Grandfather told me. He's an elder, you know. He's one of the chief elders. Been an elder for 80 years.
I know all that as well as you do.
Well, he said that God instructed Aaron and Moses to take us to Canaan by way of the plains of Sinai.
I wonder why.
If we went by way of Philistia to the north, we'd be attacked as slaves escaping from our masters. We're unarmed and not prepared for war, so God is taking us around Philistia.
Well, God is a God of compassion as well as of judgment.
Well, there's more to it than just that. At least I believe there is.
More such as what?
Well, you see that pillar of fire above us?
Of course. How could I help but see it?
That cloud is a miracle. A definite, sure miracle, right?
Yes.
Well, the miracle and all that has happened the last few months, in fact, all that has happened for the last several hundred years, including the promise to Abraham of a land of inheritance, all adds up to one thing. We, the descendants of Abraham, we Israelites, are now members of a new nation. And do you know who our king is? I mean our real and literal king who will reign over us, surely as Pharaoh reigns over Egypt.
Yeah, but we don't have a king.
Oh, yes, we do. That cloud of fire up there. The one in that cloud controlling it is a personal representative of our king.
But you said an angel was in that cloud of fire.
Exactly.
You mean that God is our king?
I believe exactly that. I believe that God will actually rule us.
Now, that sounds reasonable.
I believe that God's nation came into being just a few minutes ago, the minute we started our march. The moment that pillar of fire appeared, it's a symbol. It's almost a flag of the new nation.
Just think, I, a charter member of God's own kingdom on earth.
And they marched to Etham on the edge of the desert. And the standard of their invisible leader was ever with them. By night, it was a pillar of fire, leading them on their way, lighting their encampments and constantly assuring them of divine presence. By day, it was a covering of cloud, spread as a canopy over the host, serving as a protection from the burning heat, and its coolness and moisture afforded grateful refreshment in the parched, thirsty desert. The Israelites marched on and on, across a dreary, desert-like wilderness. Being many of them, and encumbered with women and children and flocks and herds, their progress was slow. The making of camp at night and the breaking of camp in the morning was a slow, hard chore.
Where are those boys?
Ulam and Hodish? Well, they went to see about the sheep.
Well, I want them to help me pack and get ready to leave.
I'll help you.
And the two younger children, where are they?
They're playing with the Kadesh children. I said they could.
Oh, really? Sometimes I wish I were back in Egypt.
Why, Mother?
Well, I do. All I do is pack and unpack. Walk across the desert with stones and rocks underfoot. And dust. Oh, there's dust everywhere, even in the food. Why did I ever leave Egypt?
Dear, you mustn't say such things, not even think them.
But it's true. There are some things worse than being slaves to the Egyptians.
There's nothing worse than servitude. However, there is a price on freedom. Labor, hardships, persecution, sometimes even death.
I still wish I were back in Egypt.
We have come a long way, but God has been with us. He has led us. He is our strength and our fortress. In His mercy, He has led us out of bondage into freedom. The Lord has appeared to me and directed that we turn aside from this wilderness and go to the shores of the Red Sea. By nightfall, we will be encamped by its cooling waters. Glory be to God, whose name is Jehovah.
I wonder why we're going down this valley.
To get to the Red Sea, of course.
We'll either have to cross the Red Sea or come directly back up this valley.
Well, why?
Why? Because there's no way out. High mountain walls on two sides. This valley on one side, and the Red Sea on the other side.
Well, with this huge multitude and cattle, we surely can't cross the Red Sea.
No, hardly.
We'll just have to come back this way, that's all.
Yes, but why? Why is Moses taking us down the valley in the first place?
Ah, you worry too much.
Young Ulam of the family of Eliab wasn't the only person who was at that moment worried. In Egypt, the wise men, counselors, princes, and great men of the kingdom were grouped around Pharaoh, excitedly calling his attention to certain facts.
Your Majesty, our slaves have escaped, never to return.
They've just gone into the wilderness for 3 days of worship.
They're already almost to the Red Sea.
They have no intention of coming back.
Why did you let Israel go in the first place?
They should have stayed right here.
I had to let them go, else we would all be dead men by this time.
Those plagues, locusts, flies, the death of our firstborn, they weren't the result of supernatural forces at all, as Moses claimed they were.
No, all the plagues, every one of them, resulted from natural causes.
Israel's God had nothing to do with it.
Then why weren't you magicians able to duplicate the plague?
No one can control nature, not even us.
Perhaps I was foolish. unwise and hasty when I gave them permission to leave.
We must get them back.
Who will do all our work unless we get our slaves back again?
Let's go after them. Bring them back.
It can be done easily, Your Majesty.
Yes, if we go immediately before they get out of the country.
They won't even resist us.
They can't. They're not armed. So I suggest,
nations around us will think
enough! We will go after our slaves and bring them back.
Very good, Your Majesty.
General, assemble the entire army. Chariots, horsemen, foot soldiers, and don't forget the 600 specially trained chariot men and the captain.
Yes, Your Majesty.
The Israelites will shiver with fear when they see us coming.
Long live the king!
Long live the king! Long live the king!
High priest, you will assemble every priest in the kingdom. They will accompany us so as to please the gods and thus secure success of the mission. I myself will lead the attacking army, attended by all the princes and great men of the kingdom. We will share the glory and honor of bringing back our runaway slaves.
Long live the king!
Long live the king!
General, is all in readiness?
Yes, Your Majesty.
The advance guard?
They're already gone on ahead, Your Majesty.
What's the latest report from your spies?
The hordes of Israelites are encamped by the Red Sea in a valley surrounded by high mountain walls.
A trap?
The perfect trap, Your Majesty. There is no possible way they can escape us, even if they try.
Hey, why do you throw stones in the water like that?
I like to hear the sound of them hitting the water. Don't you?
I hadn't thought about it.
Well, listen.
Well, what's so wonderful about that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's the mood I'm in.
You are moody.
Well, I just feel things deeply, that's all. Now, take the Red Sea, the setting here, and us. This is a beautiful place. Makes me want to do great things. Be somebody. And just think, Hodesh. We're free. Free! We can be whatever we wish. Whatever our ambitions and ability will let us be.
Well, I think we better go back to camp.
Oh, see, you have no feeling of the sublime. You... Well, all right. Let's go back to camp. It's getting late. Come on. Let's stop a minute, brother, and look at the camp. Oh, look at it. Isn't that marvelous?
Well, what's marvelous about it?
Well, the tents pitched in perfect order. Over a million people, and everything is run without confusion. It's a marvel of generalship. Oh, Moses must be chosen of God.
Hey. Hey, Ulam. What's that shining in the sun? And something's moving. Hey, looks like some chariots.
Yes, it does look like chariots and armor flashing in the sun. Hodesh, those are chariots. It must be Pharaoh's army come after us.
Will we be captured?
Well, there's no escape for us. The sea ahead of us, high cliffs on two sides, and now Pharaoh's advancing army on the other side. Oh, we're doomed. Slaves again. And I had high hopes and dreams. Oh, well... Freedom was good while it lasted.
The advancing Egyptian army had by that time been sighted by those in the Israelite camp. Fear and terror filled their hearts. There's no escaping the king's army. As angry as he must be, there's no telling what he may do to us when he gets us.
I'm almost glad. I'd rather be a slave than free with no home, wandering about in the desert and dust like we are.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, I'm going to go and see Moses and tell him what I think of him and his idea to escape from Egypt.
I'll go with you, Father.
Man. Many others had the same idea as Father Eliab. Moses was surrounded by angry and terrified Israelites. Why did you bring us out here in the wilderness, Moses? To die? We told you back in Egypt, remember, that you should leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians? But no, you had to lead us out of Egypt. It would have been better had we remained slaves in Egypt than to die here in the wilderness.
Fear you not. Be come and see the salvation of the Lord, who will this day deliver you. The Egyptians you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord shall fight for you. So be calm. Hold your peace and rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. Go back to your tents, each of you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
Come on, son, let's go to our tent. We're getting no satisfaction from Moses.
Well, what did Moses have to say?
Nothing. He did too, Father. He promised deliverance from the Egyptian army.
He can get us out of here by some magic?
By a miracle, yes. Now, we're in this position, the sea on one side, mountains on two sides, and Pharaoh's army on the other side, because we followed the leading of the angel and the pillar of cloud.
I always have had a funny feeling about that pillar of cloud. To me, it foreshadows some great calamity.
Well, it certainly has led us to the wrong side of the mountains.
I wish I were back in Egypt.
Oh, Mother.
The Egyptian host marched closer and closer, confident that the Israelites would fall easy prey to their onslaught. Suddenly, the king noticed the pillar of cloud above the Israelite host.
General, what is that above the camp of Israel?
It looks like a cloud, Your Majesty.
Clouds don't move straight up like that.
I don't know what it is, Your Majesty.
I hope it isn't some more of Moses and Aaron's magic.
Whatever it is, Your Majesty, it's now moving in this direction.
I don't trust Moses and Aaron. They seem to be able to do just about as they wish. Even control nature.
Yes. They claim it's their god, remember?
Maybe it is.
With fear and awe, Pharaoh and his army watched as the pillar of cloud rose majestically into the heavens, passed over the Israelites, and then descended between them and the camp of Israel. A wall of darkness descended between the Israelites and the camp of Pharaoh. The Egyptians could no longer see the camp of Israel, and they were forced to halt.
General, did you bring torches with you?
No, Your Majesty. We don't usually plan on fighting or advancing after nightfall.
We'll march through the darkness of that cloud anyway and attack the Israelites.
Oh, that would be disastrous, Your Majesty. In the darkness and amid all the rocks and crevices of this terrain, we'd destroy ourselves.
Maybe it isn't as dark in the cloud as it looks.
Well, I'll investigate myself, Your Majesty. It's too dark by far, Your Majesty, to attempt to march through it.
All right, General. We'll wait and see what develops.
As daylight faded into the darkness of night, the pillar of cloud became a pillar of fire to the Israelites, flooding the entire encampment with a radiance of day. Hope returned to the hearts of Israel. Moses, being instructed by God, said unto them,
The Lord God of Israel said unto me, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward across the Red Sea. So, my dear people, go to your tents and prepare for immediate evacuation.
As soon as that great multitude was ready to march, Moses, at the express command of God, stood on the banks of the Red Sea and stretched out his rod over the waters. Immediately, the waters parted, standing up like walls on either side. The light from God's pillar of fire shone upon the foam-capped billows and revealed a mighty furrow through the waters of the sea. Israel, with song and thanksgiving, marched across the sea on dry land.
A miracle. A mighty miracle.
The pillar of cloud moved along with the marching Israelites, separating them from the sight of their pursuers. Suddenly, as Pharaoh and his army were in the midst of the sea, the mysterious cloud changed to a pillar of fire before their astonished eyes. Without warning, the pillar of fire sent forth flashes of lightning. Thunder peals, torrents of rain descended. The very earth trembled and shook. The voice of destruction was in the whirlwind. The Egyptians were seized with confusion and dismay.
General!
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 Where are you? General!
Captain! If we don't get the men together, we'll all...
General, call a retreat! General! General, do you hear me?
What did you say, Your Majesty?
Call a general retreat back to the shore from where we just came!
Yes, Your Majesty! Captain, retreat! Captain, retreat! Every man for himself!
The confusion and dismay grew as the Egyptians fell all over each other in their frantic attempt to retrace their steps back to the shore they had just quitted. Horses piled up in general confusion. Chariots were wrecked against rocks and each other. And still, the pillar of fire continued to send out darts of lightning, peals of thunder. Suddenly, the water rushed together, hissing, roaring, eager to swallow up the Egyptian army in its black depths. Daylight broke the next morning. It revealed to the multitudes of Israel all that remained of their mighty foe, armor-clad bodies cast upon the shore. That vast throng of Israelites, with the sea before them, and the mighty armies of Egypt pressing behind, had seen their path opened through the waters, and their enemies overwhelmed in the moment of expected victory. The hearts of the Israelites were turned to gratitude and faith, for their God had delivered them by mighty miracles. And there by the sea, that joyous multitude lifted their voices in thanksgiving.
I will sing unto Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, and his chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Jehovah is his name.